nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Are we still together? Ephesians chapter 4, please, from verse 1 to 6. Ephesians 4, from verse 1 to 6. Paul again is teaching the church in Ephesus. Let's pay attention to what Paul is trying to discuss here. I therefore, Paul, the prisoner of our Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, wherein ye are called. Verse 2. It says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. We're reading to verse 6. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. Everybody say one body. Please shout it and you will say one body. It says there is one Spirit. Say one Spirit. It says, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord, not two. One faith, not two. One baptism. The last verse. It says, one God and Father of how many? Please talk to me. God is the Lord and Father of how many? Not certain people. One Lord or God and Father of all, who is above all and to all. I love Paul. I love Paul. This man. This man. That encounter of falling down under that light, that he entered him, you can see the results. The kind of light that took that man from his donkey and dropped him, it gave him a reorientation. The depth of revelation that came from that encounter is what is producing this kind of mystery. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in how many of us? That Father is in how many of us? Write this down. Unity is a state of oneness. Unity is a state of togetherness. Please write it down. Unity is a state of oneness. Unity is a state of togetherness. To be united, therefore, means to be in agreement. Write it down, please. To be united means to be in agreement. Number one, to be united means to be of the same motivation and to have the same expectation. To be united means to have the same motivation, the same thing driving you, the same thing driving me. And it also means to have the same end, the same expectation, the same goal. That's what it means to be united. This is very powerful. The subject of unity is one that we will continue to preach until we see the body of Christ coming to that state of unity. Because the Bible says part of the reason why the Lord gave the fivefold is for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Is that true? Until we come to a state in the spirit called the unity of the faith, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, he says. And so we have an understanding from scripture that there is a level of strength and stamina and capacity that a corporate people can never have until they are one. From Genesis 11 and Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible showed us the power of unity. To be of one motivation, to be in agreement. I'm going to share with you, let's read four scriptures further to show us the value of unity and the force of unity as far as building strength, the strength of a people. In fact, politically, or I think sociologically, we have a cliche that we have used. It says, united we stand. Do you know that? United we stand, but divided we fall. That saying is true because it is consistent with what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Please make sure you write. Let's do a few studies from scripture. Just an exhortation to count this home, and then we pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Help us, media, so that we just rush. The next scripture will be Romans 14 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. It says, now I beseech you, brethren. He's speaking to brethren, those who are of the family of faith, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. This is Paul admonishing the church in Corinth. Very powerful scripture. He says that there should be no division among you at all. You should be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Romans 14 and verse 19. The third scripture will be Philippians 2 and verse 2. Romans 14 and verse 19. He said, let us therefore, are we still together everyone? Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. Are you seeing this now? I hope you understand what he's saying here. That we pursue after the things that make for peace. In other words, stay away from the things that cause trouble and cause division. Follow after the things that make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify another. This is a very instructive scripture. That means before you do what you do, find out how many people will be hurt and destroyed by this my ideology. How many people will be, is the body of Christ going to benefit from this action? Is this action going to bring glory to the name of the Lord? And then will the church suffer? Or will the church survive? Even if my denomination or my fellowship or my group benefits from it, will the larger body of Christ suffer or benefit? Scripture number 3, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2. Then the last scripture we'll look at, the book of Acts, learning from the early church, 4 and verse 32. Philippians 2 and verse 2 says, Paul now, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see, scattered through scripture, Paul keeps warning the church, admonishing them, beseeching them, do not play with this issue of unity. There are all types of enemies, neighbors, nations that are waiting to destroy you. Your strength is in your unity. Fulfill ye my joy, he says, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. The last scripture, Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts 4 and verse 32. It says, and the multitude of them that believe were of one heart. This is the early church now, the model for us. The multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Watch this. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. This is the character of the early church. This was how they were mentored by Jesus directly. They were mentored that it's not the issue of my thing. The most important thing is let it benefit us. My revelation, my rhema, it came from me. That everything that comes is for the supply of the body, not just for the benefit of an individual. Are we learning something already? Very, very important. Now let me show you a scripture while I was studying, preparing for this. This scripture, it kept ringing in my spirit until I brought it and added it to this teaching. We're going to look at two accounts of it. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, we'll begin our reading from verse 22. Again, Jesus is teaching. Learn the mystery here. Please look up. Most times we have taught along these lines, but we have taken that teaching out of context. Let me put it in context now so we understand what Jesus is saying. The scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, this was when he casted out the devil from a demoniac. They said he had Beelzebub. Now, in ancient times, there were all kinds of demon spirits that they believed controlled all different aspects, Apollyon, Leviathan, Abaddon, all kinds of demon spirits. And this, he said, is Beelzebub. And by the prince of the devils, casted he out devils. So they are questioning the source of his power and his authority to be able to cast out a demon like this. 23. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? That means there is a law that governs results. How can Satan cast out Satan? 24 now. And if a kingdom be divided against itself, what did he say? That kingdom cannot. That means the strength of that kingdom is not in the blocks that built it. The strength of that kingdom. How did Jericho go down? Even though it was an advantage, but there was an insider who cooperated with an outsider that helped to bring down Jericho. I hope you know that. When the earth, there is no enemy within, it is said the enemy without can do us no harm. The most dangerous enemy is not the enemy without, it is the enemy within. Are we learning something? A kingdom divided against itself, it says, cannot stand. Next verse, watch this. And if a house be divided against itself, that house also. So this is a law that is applicable for the stability of kingdoms, the stability of houses, the stability of spiritual families, the stability of a territory. You are able to stand and withstand darkness to the degree that the force of unity is in place. Now, here is the mystery. 26. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand but has an end. An end comes to the reign and the dominion of that system. 27. Now, you see where we keep making mistakes. Read this now in context. No man can enter into a strong man's house. Stop. I love scripture. You are intelligent people and you went to school. With respect to what we have been discussing, what made the man strong? What made his house strong? Because the Bible here is talking about unity and its ability to provide strength. So this strong man you are calling is not a strong man because of physical might. He is a strong man because there is a formidability in his house. Jesus is teaching about unity. That any nation, kingdom, family, house that is divided, it has lost its strength. Now he's showing you in a parable. No man can enter into a strong man's house. So by the definition, contextual definition, no man can enter into the house of a man that is united and forbidden. It makes him a strong man. Are you getting it now? And spoil his goods, except the first condition. If you want to destroy a strong man's house, the first thing you look for is to bind, please take it to the media, to bind the strong man. Wow. When you read the Bible, apply some intelligence to it. Don't just read it, it's spiritual. How do you bind a strong man? If you were Satan, God forbid, and you wanted to bind a strong man from reading what I told you, how do you bind a strong man? So you don't bind people by putting cords on their hands. You bind them by destroying what made them strong. This is your Bible. The first assignment is to look for a way of dismantling that call of unity. And the Bible says, if it happens, although the man was once a strong man, although the nation was once a strong nation, although the territory was once a strong territory, you have found it. My goodness, my God. Although the church was a strong church, although the ministry was a strong ministry, the way you find the strong is to disunite them. And who are we following now? This is a very prophetic message, not only to the church, but to the territory. No man, whoever this man is, we know he's a stranger. And whoever this man is, we know he's a thief. Because his assignment is to come and steal the spoil. But the man will sit down and say, how do I penetrate? These men are strong. What makes them strong? Unity. How do I penetrate this church, this system, this nation, this family? I must find the strong man. And how do I find the strong man? Next verse. Well, we can stop here. The next he was talking about blasphemy because he was sad that they disbelieved him. Just keep it at 27. Have you learned a lesson here? We're going to look at the synoptic account of Matthew. Same story, but a different expression. Matthew chapter 12, now still from verse 22. I pray that God will open your eyes to see this. I am showing you the force of unity that it sustains the ability to provide strength. If the Bible gives us an assignment and says be strong in the Lord, then we must know how to draw strength from our submission. Number one, if there are people under the anointing, just help them. From our submission, number one, and then from our encounters, but also from our unity. Watch this now. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. Look at this kind of condition. Possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. It was a spectacular miracle. And all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? Are you learning unity? But when the Pharisees had it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Next verse. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall this kingdom stand? This is a spiritual law. It's not an opinion. Next verse. If I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judge. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. 29. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? Verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathered not with me scattered abroad. Have you seen the power of unity? Many churches, many individuals, Enugu as a city, the east of the Niger, Africa as a continent, We have not been able to rise to a point of power and stature, spiritually and otherwise, because Satan, knowing his law, has a singular assignment. Divide husband from wife, divide children from parents, and you have rendered them powerless. Let me give you a secret. When Jesus walked upon the earth as a man, do you know that as a man he did not have strength? Do you know where his strength came from? Bible students, do you know where his strength came from? Let me tell you the day the strength of Jesus started. The day there was a united scenario of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at Jordan. The day the heavens opened, the Father spoke, the Holy Ghost came, the Word was there. That was when power started. Read your Bible. Until that time, there is no mention of invisibility and miracles, provided that unity was not established. John baptized the Word. The heavens were open. The Holy Ghost came. The Father spoke and identified. When that trinity, that equation was complete, no power in existence. They tried to push Jesus off the cliff. He pushed them back. They tried to kill. Nothing happened. Now, when Jesus was about to die, it was impossible for him to die because he had to be bound as a strong man. How was he bound as a strong man? The Holy Ghost had to lead him in the Gethsemane. Is it your Bible? If the Holy Ghost did not lead Jesus, hitting nails on his hand would be a waste of time. A kingdom that is not divided against itself cannot fall. So when the Father wanted redemption to happen, watch this. He said, look, for the first time, the Trinity will have to be separated so that Jesus can become weak, weak enough to die. It's called the hidden wisdom of God. This is what Paul said. These principalities knew they will know they are not the ones who defeated Jesus. That Jesus himself came out of that alignment so that he can die. Are we blessed? The moment the Trinity was in place, everywhere Jesus went, power, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good, healing all things that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God. We see God, we see Holy Ghost, we see Jesus. The equation is complete. That equation of unity was in place. Jesus himself said, I can of my own, in isolation to this united force, I can do nothing. So when God wants to help a man, God picks that man and connects him to a larger body of graces for the purpose of unity. And you will find out that the strength you did not have as an individual, you can have as a corporate people. Watch this. If you ask me to lift this up, I'm an adult. Look how difficult it is to lift it up in one hand. Are you seeing that now? But does this mean this cannot be lifted? Can it be lifted? Let me have two or three gentlemen. If you are not strong, don't come here. Not with the might of heaven alone, but physically. Two or three gentlemen. Stand here. Stand here. You stand here. Watch this. Hold it to you. Are you ready now? Let's try it now. What, as anointed, please drop it. As anointed as I am, this thing did not respect the fact that I was alone. There are some things you cannot do. Here's how the Bible puts it. Sit down, sit down, sit down. He says, it is not good for man to be alone. He was not just talking about a wife. He said, it's a risk when you are the only one standing. If you are not in a company of strong people, there is a limitation as far as territorial dominion is concerned. When he sent them, do you know why
Jesus sent them two by two. Go and read your Bible. He never sent them one by one. When the animals were coming to the ark of Noah, they came how many? See, this kingdom has mysteries. And until God opens your eyes, this is the assignment of the spirit of revelation. That all men may see. Unity is not the issue of just agreeing. It's a risk to be divided. For 30 years, Jesus kept moving as if he was a scam, as he was a savior. Jesus would move, he had playmates. They would push him left, right, and center. Yet that was the logos of God. But the day the heavens were opened, the Father spoke, the Spirit came, Jesus received. When that Trinity was in place, it was an invincible formation that could not be destroyed. And you could hear me, East of the Niger, the kind of revival that God wants to bring across your territory is a revival that no single church will be able to bear. No single man of God, no matter how anointed. Individually, there are things we can do, but there are certain prophetic things that will take a united people. If this is what is coming from heaven, and I stand with my pride to receive it, it will break me down, even though it is from God. I will need other people to hold it. So the prophet is holding it. The evangelist is holding it too. The businessman is also supporting it here. As a prophet, listen, sit down. As a prophet, I can make a lot of noise. I can prophesy. Is it not when there is a venue and there are people that I can pray? According to Genesis 42 and verse 1 and 2, even a prophet, when there is no food, can die. Give us Genesis 42. Let me show you something. Genesis 42. The force of unity. Never forget this message. 42 from verse 1 and 2. Please leave it. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, the prophet said to his sons, why do ye look upon one another? Verse 2. He said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from there, that we may live and not die. So the man of God can be a man of God. But if there is nobody to lift his hand in ministry, you will live as if God did not call you. You will suffer as if you are not anointed. And yet the anointing is on you. Why? Because there are things you cannot do alone. Even Jesus, on his way to Golgotha, he became so weak he had to fall down. It took another man to help him carry the cross so that he would arrive there. He would have died on the ground. If he died on the ground, he would not be called a corpse. He had to hang on a tree to be called a corpse. Everybody say unity. Amen. Do not forget, united we stand, but divided we fall. So we are discussing how and what makes a man strong. The Bible gives us its definition of a strong man. A strong man is not a macho man. A strong man is not necessarily a wise man. A strong man is a united people. The Bible calls a strong man. A strong man is not an evil man necessarily. We have a narrative, every time we say strong man, we think it's just a demon. No, in the Bible here, it is the outsider that is an evil man. The strong man became strong because his house was kept in unity. How did war happen in heaven? Well, Bible says, have you studied how war happened in heaven? Satan decided to come and he began a proposition to one third of the angels according to the authority of scripture. He began to sell and market an idea that we can run two parallel governments. I can choose. You can worship me or you can worship Jehovah. And there was war in heaven. Satan was cast into the earth. When he got to the earth, the Bible says there was no place for him. When God made man, Eve came out of man, the Garden of Eden, there was perfect unity. When Satan wanted to destroy man, here's how he came. He isolated the woman out of the man because she was supposed to walk under his authority. And provided she was conscious of his authority, Satan could not penetrate her. But he isolated the woman and said, "Woman, forget about your husband. He may join you later on. But what is the discussion? What did God tell you people? A wise man would have certainly called my husband. He would be the one to talk to you." But she now took laws in her hands. And Satan said, "I found it." By the time he was done with Eve, the glory had departed. When I found this chief in the spirit, I knew that I was ready for an unbeatable life. My unity with heaven, number one. I show you how you can have a formidable ministry. How the east of the Niger, there is no charm and no power of darkness from hell that will just penetrate a family and be killing people like that. Believe me when I tell you, there is someone in that family, there is someone within that neighborhood who would have agreed with Satan to say, "Come." The Bible says Jericho was such a formidable building, nothing could go out, nothing could come in. But there was a woman called Rahab, she was a prostitute. Even though the narrative later profited the kingdom, but the principle still remained the same. For as long as there was nobody to attend to the nation of Israel from inside, even though they were a covenant people, they were limited until they found access through that woman. The man who was going to destroy the nation of Israel was not outside Israel, it was Haman. And he lived with the king in the palace. Can I tell you? Haman's goal was not only to destroy Israel, it was to one day take the position of that king. How do you know? When the Chronicles was opened and the king called him and said, "What should be done to this man?" Immediately, without thinking twice, he said, "Let the king give him his royal robe." He thought he was the one. "Let him ride upon his horse." They won't do it to Mordecai. And the king said, "Wow." Haman said, "For Mordecai, I thought it was me." He had been eyeing the throne. It was only a matter of time. Now, watch this. There are certain levels of revival that is to come upon this land. There are certain levels of superior end time mantles, end time anointings. No matter what the individual efforts of the churches, the men of God, the politicians, the business people, no matter what it is, that formation of king, priest, prophet, until that formation is restored, there is a level of God's glory that cannot be wasted. The nation of Israel always preserved his formation: king, priest, prophet. And it was an invincible formation, and no arsenal of darkness could penetrate them. But now, what the devil has done to the church is that he has brought us to a point where, even though we are well-meaning people, our concern is just our personal projects. It doesn't matter what happens to the body of Christ. Once my church is being built, I am okay. It doesn't matter what happens, whether the devil is killing and destroying people, whether there is moral decadence in the land, I don't care. No matter what is happening in the neighborhood, it's not my business, provided nothing has come to my neighborhood. I hear that a pastor lost his wife or lost his child or lost something, that's his cup of tea. After all, we don't believe the same thing. And while you are there, you do not know, oh Esther, that when Mordecai is done with those outside the palace, he's also going to come to those within the throne. That was what Mordecai warned Esther. He said, don't think when Haman is done with us, you will be spared, because you are also a Jew. Are we together now? One of the indices to measure the spiritual maturity of a territory is when believers, ministers of the gospel, men and women of God obtain grace from God to now begin to look beyond their personal progress, beyond their personal progress, to look at the advancement and the corporate growth of the body. I know my church is going well, my sons and daughters are doing well, but is the body of Christ in Enugu State doing well? Is the body of Christ within the east of the Niger doing well? If the body of Christ is not doing well, you must learn the art of carrying the burden and the pain of the body, even if it does not affect you directly. Are we together? You now see why I have profound respect for meetings like this, where several men of God keep aside any denominational barrier, keep aside who is a man of God, a prophet, and come together and say, look, this is about kingdom come. This is about a revival upon the land. Don't you ever think Satan loves what is happening now? And he will do everything to fight. He will use offense. He will use all sorts of things to fight the unity. When a husband and a wife are home, just when there is a prophetic word that God is opening a new season for that family, watch how the devil comes. Suspicions, attacks, and all kinds of things. A man who has loved his wife for many decades, all of a sudden they start having irreconcilable differences, and they don't know that there is a stranger joining their heads together. Beware when new seasons open for you. Because when new seasons open for you, one of the ways that Satan will seek to destroy those seasons is to bind the strong man. To bind the strong man means to bring you to a point where you are disunited. And when you are disunited, listen carefully, there is so much you cannot do. You may be praying and falling down personally, but you see the reason why we keep excelling as churches. But the territory does not carry that signature of the power of God, because we are still concerned with individual progress. In every part of this nation and across Africa, there are churches being founded, there are conferences happening, there are conventions happening. Why is it then that the body of Christ or the territory has not received that signature of the corporate move of God? I will tell you why. Because sincerely speaking, if we are to be honest with ourselves, we are largely concerned about individual progress. To what degree am I doing well? Any other person that fails, that's his business. Let me just succeed. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because when, for instance, the woman who was bent over for 18 years was healed, it was not the healing that was their business. It was who did the healing. Who will take the credit for it? And Jesus said, look how different the heart of these people are. And sadly speaking, it's still the same experience today. If a believer receives a breakthrough and the hand of God comes upon the person, we are not just interested in the fact that God gave a visitation. Our interest is through whose hand did God do it. We want to know so that we know who to give credit to. Are you learning something tonight? The force of unity. Very quickly, let me give you three keys that are responsible for activating the force of unity. Three keys. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 from verse 9. And then I give you three keys. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you, O God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O God.
That's what is important. Not Joshua Selman.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O God.
Souls are being saved in Enugu. The most important thing is that Jesus is lifted. It doesn't really matter which prophet God used, which apostle God used. Was Jesus glorified? When Saul said, our destiny is being transformed. Well done for all the vessels he used, but more than building personal empires.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, Lord.
Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 9. We have to pray. Two are better than one. Why? Because they had a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, then one will lift up his fellow. Are you seeing the power of unity? It will be impossible for all of them to fall. If one becomes weak spiritually, if one is not doing well, east of the Niger, look at me, keep that scripture there. Do you know one of the reasons why you have excelled financially in business? It is this same principle. So what happens is that I learned it. When a man becomes made by God and helped by God, he is mandated to gather people around a community. Am I right on that? I hope I've been accurate on that. And then he now gets a few boys and trains them. Is that true? Are you seeing the power now? While he's training them, sometimes he may not even be directly related to them, but he trains them, and then in no time they rise. Then they themselves get other people and train them. It is the reason why there is widespread prosperity in the land. Now, if only that one person says, nobody will rise, what happens when he dies? The territory returns back to square one. It's the reason why the departure of many people brings an end to certain things God is doing, because they were not concerned about lifting and raising others. Back to that scripture, please. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe unto him that is alone. You see what I'm saying now? Woe unto him that is alone, even when he's anointed, when he's fallen. For he hath not another to help him. Next verse. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Unity. Are you learning now? The last verse, 12. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord, hallelujah, is not weakly or easily broken. Three keys to activate the force of unity. Beloved people of God, co-laborers in the gospel, politicians, businessmen, if you understand my sermon tonight, if I drop the mic here, my coming would have been a successful one. Because by the next time you see, you will be flying on eagle's wings, on the strength of unity. Are we together? Number one, love. John 13:35. The first key that controls the force of unity is love. Can I tell you this? Love is not just an emotional thing, it's a product of a revelation. When you love just emotionally, your love will not last. It will vacillate according to how you feel.
I feel nice about this man of God. I feel nice about the beast of the Niger. I feel nice about my pastor. And the day you don't feel nice, you don't love again. Love is more than a feeling. It is a choice and a covenant. The covenant of love is the ability to stay loving regardless of feeling. If you love just based on emotions, you are going to be in trouble. Emotions is largely a product of hormones. We are talking of covenant. God introduced covenants to manage man's vacillations, because it is just to leave man like that. Peter can say, Lord, I love you today, and by tomorrow he denies him. A covenant. John 13:35. Are we learning something tonight? By this shall all men know that in Enugu I have disciples. By this shall all men know that in the east of the Niger God has men. If ye have love, not for me, I'm not doubting your love for me, but your love for one another. Can I tell you this? Hating yourself is a way, is a dangerous way to live. Why should you have preachers who hate themselves? Why should you have family members? There are some of you, as family members, you cannot look at yourself eyeball to eyeball. Do you know that? Do you know that there are family members who cannot look eyeball to eyeball? And sometimes it may not be your fault. Just individuals who just get up and want to make things difficult. And they divide the unity and the advancement of that family. Everybody shout love. Let the devil hear you. Love. Love. You love your pastor just when he preaches a correct message that you like. The day he lashes out the flesh, you look at him. This church is time to change church. This man, I'm not understanding him in this last one with me. And then after 2 years of rigmaroling around with confusion and pain and regrets and sad stories to tell, God will say, "Think over them." That was what happened between Hagar and Sarah. Abraham drove Hagar, but the truth is she wanted to leave too. There's no record of her saying anything, which means she left. When she met trouble in the wilderness, God said, go back to your mistress. Go and submit to her. That is the key to your advancement. That was how your blessing started. Foolish Lot was also another example for us. The first decision Lot made outside of the influence of Abraham took him to Sodom. Every other decision he had made, Abraham had assisted him. The first official decision outside of the partnership of Abraham led him. That means his prosperity was not his wisdom. It was the product of a man who so loved him then. Can I tell you this? You must make up your mind that the spirit of hatred, bitter hatred, pastors sitting among themselves and talking about other men of God, tearing them down, talking about members, talking about denominations, it is dangerous. Even if you pray in tongues afterwards, it is still dangerous. There must be genuineness of love. Please lay your hands on your head in 1 minute and cry to the God of heaven. Lord, take away hatred, bitterness from my life, from state. You are not just praying for yourself. Please pray in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of hatred, let it leave my life forever. I reject hatred, not for my fellow brother, not for my fellow sister, not for a fellow servant of God. I reject hatred, not for my fellow family member, my fellow business partner. Are you praying? Number two, in the name of Jesus. Number two, Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. What is the second key that activates the force of unity in a church, in a home, in a territory? It's called Mutual honor. Mutual honor is the second key that binds a people and makes them united. Can I be honest with you? Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. If people will never be united when there is no mutual honor. Mutual honor means honor that is communicated and reciprocated. Not one-sided honor. One-sided honor will never produce unity among the people. You can't criticize me and insult me and call me stupid and say let's be one. It won't work that way. Mutual honor. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and in honor preferring one another. Imagine with me for a moment that our father at his age came here on behalf of the eldership to introduce me and to open the gates for me. All these great servants of God, they came and they sat down, and here comes this arrogant man all the way from Abuja, and he comes to mount the pulpit just because he calls himself Apostle Joshua Selman, and I insult every one of these fathers, these veterans, downplay everybody, and then people are shouting under the anointing, and I'm insulting everyone. You will never invite me back to this city again. I showed you why for some of you certain altars shot towards you forever, because the day you climbed that altar, you tore everybody, including God. The only person who was not touched by that talk is you. And the elder, she said, mark this person, party this one already, man, give it. And never return again. Mutual honor. You've heard my teachings on honor. Please listen to them. I have taught extensively again on honor. It is one of the greatest spiritual weapons I have learned. Step up only to encounters. Honor. The key to access. Any door that closes over you, it is dishonor that closes it. Dishonor to God, dishonor to men, dishonor to principles. Are we learning now? Yes. I watched this with shock. How sincere ministers of the gospel, sincere leaders in society, continue to pay the price for violating honor. It is the price of dishonor is too costly. It's not worth it. Are we together? There are some of you here, the reason why you may never have the opportunity to access the grace of one of your pastors is because just because you saw them when they were starting ministry, that sense of honor is not there. Most pastors, is when they go outside of their churches, you really see the grace that God gave them. When they return back home, this man is here. Okay, let's listen. Lift up your hands for a blessing, and they casually lift their hands and say, look at the man. They look at the sheep, shoe, and sheep wash is even wearing to prophesy. And while you are saying that, heaven is watching you. And a stranger will come into the church with his heart open. Lord, I don't know who this man is, but I open my heart. Next Sunday, he's the only one who comes to testify. It's the reason why many workers in church don't receive miracles, because they are familiar. They've seen the man of God when he was with Jesus. Having leaders meeting, they saw him. When they even served food, he was eating banana in their presence. He ate and swallowed everything, and what is there? Is it not the same hand? He even gave me some of it. I'm not teaching human worship. And let me also reciprocate. One of the reasons, respectfully speaking, why many ministers of God have partners and their helpers is because of dishonor even to members too. Members are also human beings. Just because they love and honor us as men of God does not mean we treat them like animals in the name of superiority. Members have a unique way of punishing you. They will leave you in isolation. They will leave you in pain financially and so on and so forth. It's the reason why a very wealthy man can leave his own church and go to another ministry and say, any project that is happening, please call me. Whereas in his own church, less than one tenth of that amount he will only go to where he's honored. Not slaughtered, honored. He that honors me, I will honor, the Bible says. He that despises me, I will lightly esteem. Are we together? There are many young people who have dishonored their parents. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother in the Lord. Let me submit to you. Do you know why many young people in this nation, it is not well with them? It's not a cause. They brought it upon themselves to dishonor. There is such a mark. Dishonor has become fashionable in our world today. It's a trend. Many young people see some of our fathers. Some of you can see a father like our bishop now. And just because you have your small anointing and your prayer group or your ministry, if you have your way, you can even push it. If I'm on the streets as Joshua Selman, if I see our father and our mother, the bishop, carrying something on their head, I stand before the God of heaven. I will come down and help them. Or at least I will instruct someone to help them. My biological parents, as I am today, if I ever see them lifting something and it's within my power to help them, apostle nonsense, I will throw it down and help them. I want to live long. This honor will kill you and cut short your life. I'm telling you this. Many young people, you see why it is not well with them in ministry, in life, because they do not understand the power of honor. Yesterday, our media here were not giving us the best of presentation, and I challenged them in love yesterday. Only God knows all those who sat down together now in unity. Look what they have produced today. Within 24 hours. Can I tell you this? Servants of the living God, here in the east of the Niger, it's time to keep all this petty jealousy, fighting, unhealthy comparison. Who has the largest church members? Who has the largest? Who has the greatest anointing? Who knows this one? Who has traveled abroad for international ministry? Let me tell you the truth. I must submit to you. Let's not confuse it. We are not the same. That is a revelation we must humbly admit. We are not the same. However, no matter how high God has lifted anybody, we must be able to hold hands. Don't all these cliques that is based on we who have prophecy, we who have money, we who have revelation, we who have gone abroad. One day you will meet the person you are despising, and you will be the person holding the key that opens the door for you. Someone shout unity. Shout it again, say unity. You may be sitting by someone's side right now, and just because the person is looking like a poor person, you don't know that the job you apply, the child of that man who owns the company is the one sitting at your side. Just because you come to church and you see people humble and sitting down does not mean everybody is suffering. There are many people, they say, turn to your neighbor and say, God bless you. And you turn and you look at your neighbor looking like, and you feel it's an insult. I don't even know why I'm sitting here. And God says, foolish person, I put you to sit down here. I ask the ushers to lead you here because this is the answer to your prayer. I'm not being hard on you from a standpoint of sarcasm. It is so that you will learn. You've heard me say, I am a product of many anointings. Forget that you see bishop and the fathers here honoring me. I'm not stupid to know that these are fathers. I must be able to communicate that honor to you. Not to stand and say, they acknowledge. This is why many young people don't last long. Can I tell you this? Anytime anybody honors you, you are not done until you reciprocate it. Don't be the one getting honor from everywhere. Acknowledge me and you are not coming. And you must communicate it to match the gravity of what was given to you. If I appreciate every one of these men of God and I tell them I love you, sir, I appreciate you sincerely. Oh, apostle, you are a great man. I officer. Oh, I didn't even realize it was you. Blessings, Apostle. God bless you. We're together in Abuja a few days, maybe about a week or so ago. Are we learning something? Don't turn and look at a man of God and say, how many members do you have? 200, 210, my friend. We're talking about people who are doing something seriously and you are even coming. Let's be careful. The person you drive today, or you have your prayer group, some of you already have your prayer group, and you are already forming some of these ungodly cliques. Push, can you prophesy? No, move this way. Move this way. Do you have money? I need you. Serious, I'm not talking of money to buy shoe and bag. Do you have serious financial resources? Listen. Servants of the living God, some of us have made these mistakes. Some of these wealthy individuals today, we had a chance to be close to them when we were not in. We pushed them looking for those who had it at that time. Now, someone else came and agreed with the people who are millionaires today. And you are now calling them and say, I knew you. They say, I knew you to what you used to when you saw me that time. Don't come and tell me to bless you when you ignore me. It is the person who stands by you to help you rise. That is the person you stand by to support. Sit down. Are we learning? Can I tell you this? I made up my mind. That's why you see sometimes, as a man of God, there are younger ministries who send me text messages. Apostles, we're a prayer group of 5-7 people. We are just there. And sometimes they think that I may not respond to them. Sometimes they come around to our meetings and I see them, just young people, 7, 8. You think I'll just say, all these boys. Sometimes I can sit down with them to say, gentlemen, let me tell you, I believe in where God is taking you. Wow, we are standing with apostles. Is apostle God? Am I not a man? Listen, you can do it, you can make it. Where you are now, it may look like you are small, and sometimes you see them crying. That encouragement. A few years down the line, you will hear that those people are on fire somewhere and they will still honor you because you showed them mutual honor. When you fight somebody and the person still succeeds, you are in trouble. See the fathers and make a mistake of dishonoring them just because you feel first class. From your first class, push your designer bags, get on your knees and say, Daddy, I'm just coming from the US, but I'm not stupid. I know you are here. Let the world see me while I honor you, and the Father will bless you. And as you stand up, you're a great man. May you go far. That one statement already opens the door for the next level of glory. Fathers, while God is helping us and lifting us, do not laugh at the young minister in your church who is writing songs that look off. Don't look down at that young lady. She's walking while schooling. That is a telomere in progress. Are you willing to honor them? Can I tell you this? You will never truly be able to criticize someone who honors you so much and you honor them back. Where will it come from? Most times, there is the instinct in men to feel fulfilled. One of the instances that measure fulfillment is progress. When you downplay people's sacrifice, can I tell you this? I know we are different in revelation. I know we are different as far as the dimensions of God revealed to us is concerned. But I want you to know that every man who genuinely names the name of Christ and loves him is doing his best with the information he knows to do. You must be careful. There are people making mistakes, I agree. There are people in ignorance, I agree. But let's be cheerful. As we point fingers at people, especially in this end time, some of the most unusual men will be carrying mantles in these end times that will make some of us bend our head in shame forever. We must be cheerful. Anyway, united you stand, but divided. A politician can come out for election and fail woefully, and you see him and laugh at him and put your hand on your head till you fall down. He's watching you. That's your governor you just laughed at. The day he becomes a governor, he will look for where your church is. And he will say, they have a man road there. Why? These are the wisdom keys that many people do not pay attention to. I hope you are not just laughing. You are getting what I'm telling you. Praise the name of the Lord. Neutral form. When I learned this, I never go to a place and I never go to a territory and dishonor the people there. If you give me the privilege of climbing your pulpit, there are times you see me challenging things and I'm hard on people, but I must always let you know that it's from a standpoint of love. And not sarcasm. You will never hear me talking about any man of God to criticize. I will challenge wrong doctrines. I will challenge wrong things, but it is not a ministry God gave me to point fingers at evil. No. You will never see me climb. If I climb on this pulpit and the rule of that church is no moving around the pulpit, this is where I'm going to stay till I finish preaching. It will not stop the people from hearing what they are saying. It will not stop fire from falling. Fire can fall while standing here. Listen, adaptation is proof of honor. You must learn to have a high level of adaptability. Many of you wonder why you see me preach across different denominations that have different doctrinal divides. I have my core beliefs. I have my core spiritual values. But I'm able to be flexible enough. As this man is playing keyboard for me, please stop for a moment. There are churches you don't play this while the sound is on. When you go there, don't say my own. I know how I charge my atmosphere. Have different networks in the street so that you know how to connect to MTN. Sit down, please. I have to pray. I don't want you people to sit for too long. Are we learning something tonight? Hear me. There are places, don't feel bad, please. There are churches you go to teach. Maybe their ethics and their rule is that you either incorporate or suit, honor them. Don't go and say, me. I know what. The day Jesus appeared to me, I was wearing a tracksuit. I agree with you. I'm not fighting your revelation. But can you have that adaptation? Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Listen, if we do not practice mutual honor, I promise you, this conference will only come and go, and every other thing will continue that way. But for mutual honor. Mutual honor. If the protocol are doing a nice job, don't look at them and say, do your work. Well done, sir. God bless you. And they feel encouraged. Let somebody try to touch you and you see what they will do. Because you are one of them. A man of God comes and sows a seed of 10 million. Not sending a text and say, thanks, God bless you. Amen. 10 million is much now. Have some time to honor the person and say, look, we appreciate this. All blessings come from God. But we realize that you have done this as a communication of love and honor for this building. And as the pastor, I feel it as a responsibility to come and say thank you. Or you write a letter. And the man says, because of what you have done, this is only the first phase. Let me tell you this. Honor prolongs benevolence. Anywhere you show honor, the benevolence has been given the strength for continuity. Is God speaking to us tonight? Again, someone shall honor. Now, aside from the men of God, don't go there. All of you, I want you to stand and in 1 minute walk up to someone and just appreciate the person and tell the person I truly honor you. It doesn't matter whether you know the person or not. Don't come and relate the man of God. Please don't come and relate the man of God.
Go ahead. You are appreciating the next apostle. Some of you are appreciating your wife. I honor the grace of God upon your life. I may not know you. Don't look for the people you know or your church members. Are they safe to go to your church members? Yes, I know you're a man of God. We fought last year, but it's over, it's over, it's over. We are all servants of God. It's the same heaven we are going to. Please return back to your seat, rejoicing. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let your love increase. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. The walls of pride and prejudice shall cease. When we are your instruments. Oh, look what is happening to the ministers, my goodness. The church is marching on. The church is marching on, regardless of denomination. Any move, the faith of man shall not prevail. The church is marching on. Sing it one more time with revelation. Let the devil hear you know. The church is marching on. The gates of hell shall not prevail.
Anybody that comes into your city to cause division, show him the gate of the city and tell him not to let him go safe. Carry your trouble and leave the city. There is a lot that God is doing. No. Please don't go to the men of God. The unity is all right. We've greeted one another. Just please go back so that we don't have chaos. We're going to pray. God sees your heart. God will honor you, man of God, and bless you in the name of Jesus. Are we together? That the time will come when a particular church is holding a crusade and a pastor that is not even related will pay for 30 buses and say, transport people to and fro. If they ask you, say a fellow co-laborer has come to partner. What is the name of the church is not necessary. Just know that we want Jesus to be lifted. Are we together? Now, the truth is that, hear me, we will define doctrine. We will define modus operandi. Anybody who does not name the name of Jesus and anybody who does not represent Jesus is not part of those I'm talking about. I have to balance this. We are talking about those who fundamentally agree that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There are certain beliefs that we may defy. Don't worry. It's not too much of a reason to cause division. Anyway, the greatest strength that will come from a united force. If somebody comes and says, I am an herbalist, I must destroy this church. Suddenly you will hear voices from every altar. What did you say? And he said, No. I was not talking about one person. He said, no, there is no one person in Enugu. We are a united team. You want to attack one man? because of a strong man. And spoil that man. And who is that the harvest and the king. That's not what is stopping the progress of the church. It is not the divination that the incantation. It is that the strong men have been bound. I'm here to lose them. To lose them. Can I tell you this? Provided a family is still fighting one another, this our firstborn is a millionaire, he will not listen. In the morning, they have refused to acknowledge that it was through diligence God bless him, and they become entitled. You must bless us, and he says, continue your nonsense there. The day that family decides to be united, forgive one another, sir, we respect you. You came out of this family, and today God has blessed you. We don't realize you, and he now looks and says, even though I am lifted, I am still your brother. You see that unity. They will now turn and say, where is the power that does not want this family to move? And the devil has to listen, because everybody is saying the same thing. The moment you are saying something else, the devil has cheated you. One voice. The reason why many terrorists prevail over several parts of Africa and even our nation is because largely they have one voice. If the voice is destruction, they remain there. If the voice is mayhem, they remain there. Tonight, God has come to shake the church in anyone east of the Niger, to say it is no longer just about Catholic and Anglican and Presbyterian and any other church. Together, we are a united force. Yes, I know you may not pray in tongues like me, but don't worry, it's too small a reason. We are still lifting Jesus high. I know that you may not do this, but. And the devil says, what happened now? How do we destroy Enugu? How do we, and you begin to see such a rise of prosperity and wisdom and increase and power. The moment you see a man of God crying, you don't need to ask him what denomination. You are a servant of the living God. Why are you crying? Ministry, I'm tired. I'm about to give up. And he says, not when I'm here. You are not giving up when I'm here. Is it not right? How much is it? Look, let's rally around. I know that you were careless. You made mistakes with your finances, but God can restore. But that shame, it is not the devil who will laugh at the church. Come, let us cover this shame. And when that is done, we can now teach you how to do it right. Can I tell you this? Many of you need to return back. Let me challenge you. Go back and put a hashtag. United Enugu. Together we stand. From this moment. Let your family members know. This is not a political thing. Let me give a disclaimer now. So that you don't say Apostle came to do politics. I'm a man of God. I'm encouraging unity. Call your brother and say, my friend, you've been in London for 10 years, but we used to come and see us. It's all right. We came here and we had a message. There is a dimension of grace God is giving you that this family needs. We need you back. Come. There are dimensions that we may never experience. There is a grace God has given this man. There is a grace God has given this man. There is a grace God has given this church. There is a grace God has given this one. For this church, God gave them the grace for prayer. For this grace, God gave them the grace for consecration and holiness and purity. When you find out that the flesh is growing, one sermon from that ministry will damage the flesh permanently. There are others, God has given them the grace for wealth and prosperity. There are others, God has given them the grace for leadership, excellence, and administration. When you come together, you will become a balanced individual, prosperous, holy, anointed with the spirit of revelation, with doctrinal soundness, having character, having prosperity, having maturity, having influence, having excellence. That is God's church, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So when they tell you someone is sick, and is about to die, you know you don't have the healing anointing yet. There's no need sitting down there and letting the person die because of ego. Like doctors recommending themselves and say, there is a man of God I know in the room. There is grace for his life. Man of God, can you help me? One of my members is about to die, and he will stand in that office and say, you have provoked that office. We will not lose one in the body. In the name of Jesus Christ. When that man is healed and you want the healing anointing, you can meet him and say, talk to me. God has granted you such a grace. I need this grace on my altar. And he says, look, I had a revelation, God has seen this scripture. This is what I did. This too, and you will see what I saw. The church has increased. You are not having increase. People come to your church, receive miracles and go. And there is someone God is increasing. God says, using charms and criticizing, humble yourself. Man of God, there is grace upon your life. And he says, look, manage some of these excesses you are doing in church. All the jumping up and down, settling down. Teach the people doctrine. Create an atmosphere that can allow responsible people come to your church. Now you have helped that person. Because either for the person was just anointed but childish, no image, no maturity, no soundness of doctrine, no coordination, no excellence, no leadership. Now you have introduced this missing dimension. Members can now come and begin to sing because they have a pastor that reflects maturity that they can be members of. You are a man of God. You are doing well, but you are always struggling financially. You notice your members are also struggling financially. Don't start creating a theology out of your pain and say, don't worry, money does not matter. You are failing in that area. Just admit it and find one who God has helped and granted grace. That is amazing, that what is a mountain to you, someone near you already has the grace to turn into a fire. If only you can be humble to receive. Had Reverend Dan's testimony and his dear wife, 13 years trusting God for the fruit of the womb. He would have remained like that till Jesus would come, or he would have written a book that though the era of miracles are over, but there is always a grace within reach. Today, they are parents with twins, wonderful, bubbling children serving the Lord. Now, please look at me, we're about to pray. I apologize, I know my time is gone. Right where you are standing, whose grace have you dishonored within your land that God has sent to be for your lifting? Your prayer life has gone down, whereas there is a man of God seated here with the grace of prayer. There are prayer groups here that you can encounter the grace of prayer and damage spiritual laziness once and for all. Have you ignored that grace? I told you I will give you 3 keys for unity. One is love. 2 is mutual honor. The 3rd is forbearance. What is forbearance? Accommodate weaknesses and limitations. Accommodate perspectives that are different from what you know. It does not have to be what you believe for you to receive people. No. If it is not the way my church does it, I don't believe it. That is an error. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. Forbearance is the ability to be accommodating. Yes, I know in your church you may have AC, very beautiful line arrays, but maybe this ministry you have come, they may not have all of those things. Do you have the flexibility to still forbear? Forbearance is powerful. I go to minister in many places and I'm generally a conservative person. I'm not jumping, but I go for meetings and sometimes you see people jump and laugh and they're happy and they run up and down. Sometimes they even fly on one another like they're fighting wrestling. Forbearance. The most important thing is to communicate Christ. I may not do that in my own ministry. Is that true? You must learn to forbear. Just because it is not the way you know it to be, does not mean God is not there. You must have the flexibility. There is a way you pray. The day you go go somewhere. Prayer is not done that way. Don't be too quick to conclude. Have a heart that accommodates. This is the key to unity. I'm connected to a lot of men of God, people in ministry across the globe. And sometimes, for some of these people, we have very differing perspectives in many things. But it's not enough reason. Some believe in deliverance and only deliverance. Some don't mention the word deliverance. Some don't believe it does. It's not enough reason to fight. We are not a political party here. You can still hug yourselves. And when the person says, I'm seeing a demon somewhere, and you don't believe in that, don't just come and say, you have come with this, your rubbish. Forbear. Are you learning something tonight? Forbear. Tolerate. Some of you have siblings who are talkatives. When they greet you before, they say, how is mommy and dad? It's already 1 hour. And you are a quiet, disciplined, calculated, and intentional individual. You can get very weary and say, how do you ever succeed making noise like this? No. You must have a large heart that accommodates. There are men of God who will stand on the pulpit, and like our father Baba Adeboye, they may be quiet. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody do this. But there are others, when they stand on that pulpit, you'll be praying that the pulpit should not even fall. It does not mean God is not working in them. No. Just because you are used to it being a certain way, does not mean it is the only way. You must have forbearance. Hallelujah. So if you go to a church, if you don't like the dance group that is dancing, just forbear. It's only 10 minutes they have. It's not enough to destroy your faith. Allow them to finish dancing and go and sit down. Oh, you don't like the choreography? No problem. Just forbear. Then the children now come in with their special number. They will make mistakes. Their heart will fall. They will fight one another. Just forbear. Allow the children to be featured too. Don't sit down and be too mature and say, what is this? I came for. I just came out of a retreat. I know. Nobody is doubting your call. But let the children also serve Jesus. You may go to a church and find maybe it's their Thanksgiving and people are dancing. They will take 3 steps forward and move back and say, just forbear. Don't sit there and say, look at how they are dancing for a canal. No, you are the one who is canal. They are celebrating God the way they know. You must forbear. Hallelujah. Listen, we are about to pray. I'm not wasting your time. Don't go around insulting pastors. Don't go around insulting members. Don't go around comparing pastors. Members sometimes are the ones who join the heads of men of God. Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. When Saul hears, what do you think he will do? Oh, Apostle Joshua Selman came to town. Come and see what happened. We do not have the ministry of outshining or the ministry of demeaning. We are only contributors to lift up the hands of the servants of God in the land to the end that Jesus be revealed and Jesus be glorified. I am not in any way in the flesh better than any of these veterans of the gospel you see. What you see happen is an election of grace and the privilege that God has given. I must be wise enough to know that even though they honor me, it is not to me they are demeaning their own anointing. Are we together now? Don't come and thank God for you sowing seeds to my life, but make sure you also do it to your pastor too. Don't go around blessing other people and leave the primary person that God is using to feed you. It's hypocrisy. Love, mutual honor. Husband, go back home and meet your wife and say, wife, I don't want to take it for granted that every week you cook for me. Don't say I paid your dowry. That some of those statements are demonic statements. It's not a Christian statement. Thank you. Thank you for having the discipline in the rain and in sunshine. And then you wife, when they are appreciating you like that, don't just say amen. Only a wise husband can produce such a wise wife. You see that now. You are balancing the equation now. And the devil that wants to cause trouble in that marriage now is the one who is left for shame. And children, parents pay your school fees. They labor to help you. Don't come and say, I didn't ask you I didn't ask you to bring me here. That's not the why. That's a childish statement. Daddy, thank you. It was in my presence I saw people did not write exams, solve their final year exams. But thank you for always granting me that school fees. Today I'm a graduate and I have come to honor you. Thank you, sir. Honor. Are we together? Somebody comes and does something nice for the city. Don't sit down and say, let them not do it now. No. Thank you, sir, for being thoughtful enough. We have been suffering lack of water here. You came and now brought borehole. Don't say instead of him to even make it electronic, he now made it. At least he tried. You see, there is a spirit we have in Africa that I'm praying the spirit of dishonor and ingratitude. If somebody brings a bag of rice, even if it's a small bag, thank God that he was thoughtful enough to bring it. Don't say at his level, look at what he should come and carry his nonsense out of his house. Don't think like that. Can I tell you this? When people bless me, whether it's 100 naira, whether it's 50 naira, it is with the same passion of gratitude I receive. If you like, bring 1 billion, you bring 1 naira. I am grateful to all of them. More than what they gave is the heart that can isolate you to honor you this much. Are we together now? Are you ready to pray? These are the keys that I have learned. Go back to your church and teach your workers. Heads of department, don't fight yourself. Ordained workers, don't fight yourself. This evil man, God will punish him for us in this department. And you are serving there, you will not receive the blessing that comes. Let me tell you, these men will offend you. Men are limited, but you must sustain the grace. Today, I am able to dispense the anointing with this degree of results because I am a product of many anointings. When I came, I sat down, sorry to have to say it. You saw me talking to our father before I came up. I held his hands, I said, Daddy, I honor you and our mommy, and I sincerely appreciate you. Thank you, sir. That's what I was saying. We were in Enugu, we were in Kinsuka, just a few days ago. Reverend Bidiolu was there. Our father, the bishop at his age, drove down to Kinsuka. And I said, this man at this age, he came with our mother this morning. She's still here tonight. Several of these people you see, only God knows the conferences and the programs that they shut down to be here. How dare you dishonor them because you are appreciating Joshua Selman? How many of me can change this city by myself? I'm only here for this night and I'm gone. But these are the ones who remain, lifting up the name of Jesus in the east of the Niger. Never honor me at the detriment of these places. Listen, prayer groups, your little leaders that God is helping, don't despise them. Love them and respect them. That gentleman you see shouting and sweating under a tree, there is a grace upon him. Don't honor the men of God and ignore the protocol. You see how long these gentlemen have been standing? They have been standing even while you are sitting down. If this is a night vigil, this is how they will stand. Don't dishonor them. What of those who were about cooking for us? One of our mothers here has been doing the sacrifice that this woman of God has been making. She also came for the meeting, but the sacrifice. How dare you dishonor them? What of those who have been driving me around since I came? Some of these security guys, they are driving the cars. You see them running up and down. What of this cameraman?
This gentleman has been walking up and down like as if he doesn't have what to do, snapping people up and down, whereas he too wants to receive. You must honor everyone. Without the person who sets the stage, the sermon can't be effective. Without the person who fixes the mic, our media people are somewhere there. When I was lashing them yesterday, you were laughing at them. But those guys deserve honor. Because if this thing is shut down, what of you who left your house and came? Some of you say, no matter how, listen, no matter how anointed we are, if you are not here, we are not in ministry. It's an uncomfortable truth, but it is the truth. In the multitude of men, it's a king's honor. If you have a vision without men, the vision will still perish. Please rise up on your feet.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord.
One more time.
For the way of the Lord is the way.
Church, mention the name of any church you know. Mention the name of any man of God you know. Lord, let us shelve away every prejudice. Mention the name of every ministry, regardless of denominational barriers. We make up our minds that this is the season of unity. It doesn't matter what assembly you identify with, locally speaking. United we stand, divided we fall. United we stand, divided we fall. And who united you stand? Are you praying? Divided you fall. East of the Niger, united you stand. Divided you fall. That they may be one as we are one. That the preachers may be one as we are one. Having a sense of love one towards another. Genuine, heartfelt, sincere love. Having a sense of mutual honor. One towards another. Beyond results. Beyond achievements. Having a sense of forbearance. One towards another. Hallelujah. Now, there are three things I'm going to do very quickly. Our time is up. We've had moments where we've prayed. Number one is I'm going to minister healing and deliverance in the next maybe 2 to 3 minutes. Just speak over those who are sick in body and those who have been oppressed. Number two, I'm going to prophesy and speak prophetically over lives that these doors and these gates will open. Number three, I'm going to repeat what we did last year again. I will ask our father, the bishop, and our mother, when it is time, alongside maybe a few pastors that will be selected, to come and stand upon this altar, representing the church over Enugu and the east of the Niger.
and they will stand and blow a shofar and announce a new season of strength, of power, of revival, of transformation, and of growth. Are we ready for that? Pray 1 minute. Every burden that I came here with must leave now. Lift your voice and pray.
Everything that was lost shall be returned unto me. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto me. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto me. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto me. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto me. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto me.
Hallelujah. Now I want to rebuke every spirit and every power that is not of the Christ sitting over the destinies of men. Now we are a united force, away with offense, away with bitterness. From yesterday and today there have been massive outpourings of the Spirit. I want to pray now very quickly. Father, in the name that is above all names, over Enugu State, over the east of the Niger, I come by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I declare that every spirit sitting upon the glory and the destinies of men, I decree and declare right now, at the count of three, as we shout the name Jesus, those powers and those forces are dislodged. I want you to bring them out. One, my God. Two, three, shout Jesus.
I
are hearing it like Okechukwu. We don't have the time, Okechukwu. You are wearing, there are two of you. You are one. The other person is wearing yellow, Okechukwu. This is what I've seen in a vision. There is an Okechukwu wearing a yellow dress. Is there someone like that? Oh dear. What's your name? Come, stand.
My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. My deliverer is coming. My deliverer is standing by. Your deliverer is coming. Your deliverer is standing by.
Let me pray for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the power of God is going to come on one of you right now. A strong anointing, destroying every yoke that is not of God. Let it fall upon you now. In the name of Jesus, this door that I see is closed for all the people. I declare it open right now. Open right now. I open right now. Hallelujah. Elizabeth. Elizabeth. I'm hearing a name, Elizabeth. There's someone with that name. We have to hurry up. We shouldn't say, homie. In the name of Jesus, let it bring to end every season and open you up to a new one. I declare this by the Spirit of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I prayed a prayer in the morning and I'm seeing that thing happen again. The Lord is ministering to me that there are a number of ministers here. You have struggled at a particular level of grace, but God wants to multiply His hand upon your life. I don't know where they are, but I stretch my hands. I'm seeing the number of people among the ministers here. Father, at the count of three, may that grace rest on them. One, my God. Two, three, take that power. Take that power. Step into my name. Return with your miracle children now.
Return with your miracle children. Return with your miracle children. In the name of Jesus. Madam, I've seen something that looks like fire on your stomach. I don't know why fire is burning on your stomach. But in the name of Jesus Christ, whether it's for yourself or someone you're standing for, let there be a miracle right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please lay your hands. Let's pray for the sick. We have to wrap up. Father, I pray right now for everyone who is trusting God for a miracle in their health. Just help the lady that shouts now under the anointing. Don't bring her out, but just help her so she does not injure herself. I just saw a vision and I heard that sound. We are praying for the sick now. In the name that is above all names. Agree with me as I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Wow. I've not even begun the prayer. I'm seeing the Lord taking away lump in the breast. Breast lump is going now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I rebuke every devil that is part of any infirmity. In the name of Jesus, be delivered right now. And command that spirit, let God's people go now. In Jesus' name, I bring you life and I bring you healing. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. Blind eyes be opened now in the name of Jesus. Deaf ears, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Please believe it. Be healed right now. There's someone you have severe swelling around your feet. In the name of Jesus, I command that swelling to go down now. Now every other case, whether I mention it or not, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Be restored right now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now please let me have your attention very quickly. I want to invite, I don't know the people who we're going to invite, but okay, there is a list. Okay. Can you call the list very quickly? Them as they come, because we are going to make declarations over the east of the Niger and over Enugu State. We are going to be declaring by the Spirit that the gates be open. Please make sure you participate. Yes, sir.
Our Father, Bishop Obiora.
Please celebrate Bishop as he comes, our Father.
Our Papa, Bishop Jonathan Amotie.
Please celebrate them as they come. Let's celebrate the Father.
Our Papa, Reverend Edwin Fayebo.
Please celebrate these ones as they come.
Our Mama, Bishop.
Help Bishop
God's wife.
Someone help our mother as she comes for peace. Are you celebrating grace? Listen, let me tell you this. Even in heaven, around the throne, there are 24 elders. The eldership is mandated with the grace that can stand and speak over a territory and make declarations even over territories and declare that these territories be open. Hallelujah. And I'm going to pass the mic. We'll start from our pastor, our bishop, and then right to our father to end. Now, it does not mean that they are the only servants of God. It's just a representation. But what I want you to do, please, as they make declarations, Enugu State, east of the Niger,
open up your spirit. We are announcing prophetically to principalities and powers that a new season is opened by the Spirit of God. Are we in agreement on this? I know you have been standing, but this is the final phase. Except for health reasons, may I encourage you to please stand in honor to these fathers.
Father, in the name of Jesus, the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west. Tonight we declare the rising of a new wave of revival in the name of Jesus. We declare the rising of peace in eastern Nigeria in the name of Jesus. We declare an end of terrorism, an end of criminality, an end of every manner of bloodshed in eastern Nigeria in the name of Jesus. We declare that the power of the Holy Spirit will sweep across the eastern upper of Nigeria with a new wave of revival in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we declare, in the place of agitation, let there be revival. Let there be prosperity. Let there be abundance. Let there be peace. Let there be fairness. Let there be justice. Let there be equity. Let there be empowerment. Let the youth receive jobs. Let there be soundness of heart and of mind in the name of Jesus. We declare no more deaths, no more kidnapping, no more terrorism, no more ritual killings in eastern Nigeria in the name of Jesus. And finally we declare, let the church in the east arise, arise, like the sun that is set on the east. Let the sun, let the sun arise, let the church of God arise with a new mantle that will spread across the rest of the nation. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we speak, O God, in the dark east for the unity of the body of Christ. Lord, we declare a mighty wave of your glory upon the churches in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for the government in the southeast. We rebuke the spirit of division and we decree a powerful unity among the governors in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we declare an open heaven of God in the entire southeast in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Father, we speak, oh God, that the powers of destruction, the powers of bloodshed will cease in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' powerful name we pray.
Mighty and everlasting Father, we thank you at this moment for the restoration of the voice and the position of the church in Nigeria. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. And I decree and declare even now that the north will listen, the south will listen, east and west will submit to the authority of your name in the name of Jesus Christ. We decree and declare an open door for your name to be glorified in this land. Father, we commit southeast in your hands that you begin a revival that life cannot annul. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for what you began doing. You will finish in righteousness. In Jesus' name.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, we pray for unity. Let there be unity all of in the name of Jesus. Let there be unity and one Christendom in the name of Jesus. Let there be love among us in the name of Jesus. Let there be unity and another in the name of Jesus.
Declare tonight, be open now